With the Women's World Cup of Soccer in full swing across Australia and New Zealand, it feels as if sport is absolutely everywhere right now. The National Sports and Physical Activity Convention is being held in Melbourne tomorrow with a new focus of connecting physical activity and sustainability. The conference aims to share knowledge about sport, recreation, play, fitness, health and wellness, with industry experts giving their insights to key challenges, opportunities and strategies to encourage a more active and healthy community. Joining us this morning is Claire Poole, the founder of Sports Positive Summit, a global summit that aims to bring together sports stakeholders to encourage positive climate action and ambition, safeguarding the future of sport. Good morning, Claire. Thanks so much for joining me on The Record.
Hi Fiona, lovely to be with you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the Sports Positive Summit and why you pursued a career in this film.
So I've been working in this climate change, sustainability and renewable energy for about 10 years. And in 2014, I was working with UN Environment on a big annual climate conference called the COP. And we were planning a big activation around sustainability at Stade de France, which is the national sports stadium of France. And no one was talking about a lot about the role that sport could maybe play to connect with people and help tackle the climate and biodiversity crises that we face. And so I took it upon myself to find out what was happening in this space, being a huge sport fan myself. And then, yeah, from that time, 2014 through to now, I've kind of cemented myself within the world of sport and sustainability and have a mandate to try and increase action and ambition on climate change through sport. And that's what we do at Sport Positive through our annual summit, through our leagues, through our podcast and social media and media outreach. So it's all about how can we connect with people, how can we help people understand how they can take action. And really, you know, sport is so important to so many people. It's more than a religion. It's part of our identity. We're so passionate about sport. And so it's an incredible way to connect with people around really important issues that we're seeing around climate change and biodiversity.
And speaking of connecting with people, there's lots of people who will be able to do that tomorrow at the National Sports and Physical Activity Convention. Can you tell us a little bit more about the convention?
Yeah, so I'm delighted to be there from an international perspective, obviously, but I think it's nearly 1,000 people come together here in Melbourne over the next couple of days and to really talk about all the different aspects. So sustainability is just one of them. It's a lot about community and physical activity and also things like turf and, you know, more of the kind of embodied parts of sport as well. So, yeah, I think it's really just about connecting, hearing more from each other, trying to learn, connect with other people and create partnerships. Again, to continue great work and that's happening in sport, in the community, in physical participation, to work together to be better, you know, to be more resilient and to try and share expertise across the country and internationally as well.
So what is the correlation between sport and climate change? Because you wouldn't think there's much of an overlap with those two things.
Yeah, it's a great question. So we know sport and nature are really bi-directional. So a lot of our sport takes place in the outdoors. If you're into mountain biking or surfing or swimming or sailing, or even if you take, you know, part in community-based sports at venues and indoor sport, you know, often they're surrounded by nature as well. So as well as that connection with nature, we know that sport also has an impact on nature. So when we do compete or train or participate in sport in nature, we can have an impact on that environment depending on the flora and fauna that are around it. So sport has always had a very intrinsic connection and often have been born out of happening within nature. So there's that really integral connection. But also as we see our climate changing and as we see biodiversity changing, it has a huge impact on sport, both from a participation and professional levels. So, you know, the bushfires in Australia that you've experienced, as well as obviously incredibly damaging consequences for the community. We've seen huge impacts on sport as well. So sport is so important for physical and mental health, and the impact on not being able to participate can be very detrimental. And the rise of flooding, we've seen a lot of community sports grounds flooding and don't have the finances to fix those very quickly, which means then people in the community can't participate in sport. As the climate crisis worsens, unfortunately, we're going to see more and more of that. So these connections with sport are really important to make because it impacts in so many ways that you might not think of. I could give an international example around things like skiing or these sorts of sports where often at a community level, people who live locally could get their skis and they could go up a mountain and practice skiing. As the climate crisis worsens and we see certain areas not having the snow available, it means that skiing is going to become more elitist because only the people who can afford to pay to travel to ski or perhaps pay to access an indoor self ski slope are then going to be able to train. So that access to our communities and the natural environments that we can play sport in are being depleted. And unfortunately, that's going to have an impact on things like diversity and inclusion and a just transition, because unfortunately, people who don't have the financial assets to be able to pay to access certain sporting grounds, etc., are going to lose out. So unfortunately, as you look deeper, you see more and more impact in many different ways that climate and biodiversity crisis are going to have on community participation in sport.
Yeah, and thinking about Australia, a lot of our sports are outdoors, whether it be surfing or football or soccer and everything in between. And like you were saying, if the climate does change and does become more extreme, we won't be able to do any of that.
That's right. And it's, you know, we see, as you said, if you're surfing or in the water, we've already know reports of the increase of plastic that's impacting, you know, and people seeing a change in the environment there. And if you play outdoor sport, you know, cricket, obviously in Australia, or football, some of these sports that are played outside, as we see the temperatures getting ever higher, it's going to make those sports, especially the sports that take a long time where you're wearing equipment, it's going to make it really difficult for people to participate in that, and especially young people as well, because physiologically, the very young and the very old are unable as easily to have a settled body temperature. So they're much more impacted by heat waves because their body finds it difficult to cope with that. So again, we have to, as we see these rise in extreme temperatures, I think we're going to see a drop-off in participation in those outdoor sports that take a particularly long time, and probably we'll start to see more participation in indoor sports where you're inside an air-conditioned venue and it's easier to participate.
You're listening to On the Record. I'm joined by Claire Poole, and we're discussing the National Sports and Environment Conference. Now, at the conference, the first session is called How to Create a Realistic Climate Change Strategy. What are some of the points you'll be covering in this conference?
Yeah, so for a community level, in terms of a climate change strategy, you can really start at quite a basic level of understanding your impacts, the impact your sport creates on the community. So perhaps it might be encouraging people to bring reusable water bottles to their practice sessions instead of providing single-use plastic. It could be encouraging people who don't live too far away to perhaps run or walk or cycle to training instead of driving. If you have to drive, maybe you could carpool and share the load again. All of these are small actions, but if we see lots of people doing them, it can then have an impact at scale. So we want to always, with the sort of climate change strategy sounds very, you know, big and impressive, what's your strategy? But really it can start in a really simple, accessible way of just reflecting on what impacts on the environment you have and thinking in really simple ways, how can we reduce them?
So for this conference, who will be attending it?
As far as I'm aware, it seems to be a lot of the sport decision makers across Australia in all different sports in many, many different areas, I think from facilities, from commercial teams, from communications teams, etc. So from all different sports and all different levels, from grassroots all the way up to professional. So I think it's quite a big cross-sectional gathering of people who are going to be together the next couple of days.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a massive event with lots of talks and discussions. Do you know what else might be discussed at this event or focused on?
Yeah, I think there's so many different sessions. I think a lot of it is around community sport and participation areas, such as engaging in sports and helping support participants, increasing participation and interest in sport, which we know is very important, and also supporting the community, community facilities, community access, and these sorts of things I think are going to be really central to the agenda.
So why is it important that we have events like this to bridge the gap between sustainability, climate and sport?
So with these areas, a lot of it is quite new to most organisations. They maybe haven't been doing it for so long. And of course, what we don't want to do is have every single organisation start from scratch. You don't want to think, oh, we need to be doing this work and they have to squirrel away by themselves in a room and come up with something. What we want to do to make it as efficient as possible, of course, is share the learnings from those who are further ahead. And maybe some organisations will be doing it for 5 or 10 years. You know, they're already further down the path and they can share the learnings of what works, what doesn't, you know, the ways to do things to make sure that every new organisation that does this work isn't starting from scratch at every time. So these events are so important to make sure that we can help all sports organisations move forward with this work as efficiently as possible and not make the same mistakes perhaps as other organisations have.
This morning, we've been talking all about the National Sports and Physical Activity Convention, as well as the importance of being aware of climate change sustainability in relation to sport and vice versa. But before we let you go, what is the most important message about climate change you would like to share?
Oh, that's a huge question, Fiona. But I think the main thing that we talk about in this space is that the climate crisis and biodiversity crisis can feel very overwhelming. It can always feel like somebody else's problem and, you know, isn't there politicians and isn't there environmental groups who are leading all this work and what can I do? I'm just one person, you know, maybe at home making a cup of tea now and, you know, listening to the radio. But the most important message with the climate change is that everyone can play a role. There's nothing too small that you can do, even by washing your clothes at a lower temperature or you know, using the car less if you can, or moving to a renewable energy tariff. All of these actions will help mitigate the climate crisis. So never feel like, you know, you're too small to make a difference. Everyone getting behind this effort in any small way is crucial. And we always talk about the fact that we don't need, you know, 1 million people doing this work perfectly. We need 8 billion people doing it imperfectly. And then perhaps we can tackle the climate crisis.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on The Record and telling us more about your organisation, but also the conference that starts tomorrow.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. That was Claire Poole, the founder and CEO of Sports Positive Summit, who is a guest speaker at this year's National Sports and Physical Activity Convention, which commences tomorrow in Melbourne.